Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
So I wanted to start this episode off with kind of a call for help from our listeners. A while back, we talked about music in the parks and how great it was and how much we love it. And the music on Main Street is so different from the music in Adventureland, which is so different from Frontierland, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And it's so great. And so what I've been trying to do recently is compile a database of all of the music from Walt Disney World. So all the ambient music, all the ride audio, all the shows, fireworks, stuff like that. And I want to have all of that. And I know that that's a huge project. It's a big task. It's not going to happen quickly. It's going to take a lot of research, but man, a lot of that stuff is really hard to find. And a lot of it says it's one thing, but it's really not. And I just would really love to have a definitive list of, like, here are all the different music tracks from Walt Disney World and Disneyland and stuff. And I don't know if that exists, but I just would like to issue a call to action to everybody. If you know of anything like that or know of a good repository of Disney music, I spoke to a few people today, and apparently Tokyo Disneyland has tons of albums that are that. They've got all the ambient music and ride music and stuff, but they're only available on the Japanese iTunes store, and I am just not willing to jump through all the hoops involved with buying something from the Japanese iTunes store. So if anybody knows where I can find some of that stuff, please let me know.
Yeah, I think you're just setting yourself up for a lot of disappointment. And this only comes from, like, my experiences in trying to find this stuff. Again, as you said, there's a lot more stuff out there for, you know, like TDL and TDS, just because I guess they feel like people are going to buy it more.
Yeah, well, I think I don't know. I think it's an Oriental Land Company thing.
You think so?
They're not as jealous with their music. I think American Disney is a little bit more kind of, they're going to hold on to that stuff so that you can only experience it in the parks. Whereas I think Oriental Land Company is probably more like, oh, we can make some money by selling that. Sure, let's sell it. Let's do it.
Well, and the funny thing is that, you know, I actually have the CD for the Haunted Mansion overlay. Gosh, Nightmare Before Christmas, the overlay for the Haunted Mansion, right?
Yes, yeah.
I have the Japanese CD from that, because when I went to Tokyo Disneyland, they were doing that, and I picked up the attraction audio and everything on CD form. And those CDs are not cheap.
No,
but here's the thing: I was willing to pay it because I wanted the attraction audio.
Yeah, well, and what did we pay to get the the ukulele Disney album imported? It was like $25.
Yeah, which here's the
it
thing:
it was totally worth it.
Even if you lived in Japan, you wouldn't have gotten it that much cheaper. I mean, it would have been cheaper, but not significantly, not nearly as much as what you would probably think it was going to be. Yeah, I think it's okay. So that was like many, many years ago now that I went to Japan, but I feel like I dropped around like $20 on that CD, you know, compared to around here where you'd probably be paying somewhere. I would maybe expect to pay somewhere in the $15 range, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I would expect $15 to $20.
Yeah. But again, that's the thing is, I think that if Disney did sell it, they'd probably be looking at that $20 to $25 range. And I wouldn't really have a problem with that.
No, I would much rather, because I feel like the methods that I'm going to have to use to acquire this music are the, you know, fell off the back of a truck type of methods, if you catch my drift. Wink, wink.
I heard this on YouTube, and yeah, it's very grainy, and it was recorded on somebody's camera mic.
Yeah.
But it's the only evidence that I can find that this track exists.
Right.
Sort of thing, yeah.
So, I don't know. I would really love it if someone who was listening right now was like, oh, yeah, no, I have all of them. And here it is in a zip file. Just take it and enjoy.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing, though. I still want park music, but you know what I really want right now? Bus music.
Yeah, dude.
Like the, you know,
I hadn't even thought about bus music.
Because as you're going into each park, you know, you get the music. Or like when you're coming back to your resort, that the bus music is dependent on the resort.
Yeah.
So like when you're going into Pop Century, you're getting, you know, like classic or, you know, I don't know, like 70s, 80s, 90s music, you know, sometimes 50s, 60s. When you're going back to Port Orleans, Riverside, you're getting like the, you know, banjo-y remixes of Disney songs, nice and slow. And sometimes, you know, but you get the feel of your resort, just like you get the feel of a specific park before you go there based on the bus music. And I don't know where to get the bus music.
Yeah. And I bet there's some, you know, bootleg version of it on YouTube, but it's probably someone who held a microphone as close as they possibly could to the terrible tinny bus speaker. And you've got, you know, probably engine noise and people talking. And it's like at Aulani in Hawaii, in the elevators, they've got Hawaiian versions of Disney music. And they're very subtle and they're very, very good. But the only recordings of them are people who have recorded them in the elevator.
Right. Or...
And so you've got ding, 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 you know, while the elevator's going up and down. And it's just like, please release this. Take my money. Like, I want to pay large sums of money for this music in good CD quality.
Yeah. And if you've been listening to our show for a while, you know this isn't the first time we've had this complaint. But gosh darn it, it hasn't changed in however long it's been since the last time we complained about this. So we're complaining about it again. Because, yeah, I don't want to have to go to YouTube and play some YouTube video just so I can listen to some ambient park music, especially ambient park music is just like crazy hard to find. There's little chunks of it out there, but yeah, for the most part, it's background noise on a YouTube video. So, oh, well, hopefully somebody will come up with that for you.
Yeah, so that's my call to action. I have another thing that Sunday kind of, I don't know, it didn't make me upset or anything, but it's something I don't understand. Okay, let me start from the beginning. So Sunday was the Disney 60th anniversary special on ABC, and they made a big deal about showing the Star Wars Land preview, and that is the whole reason I watched it. And what the Star Wars Land preview ended up being was all of the concept art that they released when they announced Star Wars Land, basically with some like motion graphic elements on them. So now the Millennium Falcon that they showed, the little door where you enter and exit the Millennium Falcon, closed. And there was some, you know, TIE fighters flying through the sky and some of the, but they were just still images. And that was fine. I didn't expect them to share any groundbreaking news like that. They're going to save that for D23 and when Parks and Resorts gets up on stage. But what was upsetting was that every single Disney blog site reported that was like brand new details announced for Star Wars Land, you know, and it was basically the exact same images. And like, I consider us to be, you know, we don't have a blog per se where we write stories, but we talk about news items and stuff. And I saw that and I was like, that's great, but that's not worth talking about. And I feel like when places, especially places like Inside the Magic, Ricky Briganti, he is a huge, huge Disney blogger. He's invited to a whole bunch of Disney stuff. He's great. I love that website. That's a website that I frequent quite often. But when people like him report on these non-events as if they were these groundbreaking, like, oh my gosh, mind-blowing, I can't believe they showed new Star Wars Land stuff, it creates a world where that's okay. And I don't feel like it's in anyone's best interest to tell companies like Disney and stuff, like, literally don't show us anything new and we're just going to like drool all over it. Because I think that they should have shown us something or told us something or had, you know, somebody from Parks and Resorts come out and just like even just talk about it and not show us anything. I just don't like the fact that stuff like that gets reported on like it's this mind-blowing news. Because it makes it okay for them to really do nothing and just get all this great press. I don't know. Is that crazy?
Well, okay. So here's my thought on that. I do agree that based on the amount of fanfare that we saw about the Star Wars, new Star Wars stuff coming out, that I somewhat expected more out of it. But now I will say there was new concept art revealed, right?
I think there were one or two new pieces.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there was additional information provided that had not been provided up to this point. And how much of this, you know, blowing out of proportion, if you will, was the result and responsibility of Disney? And how much of it is the result of the, you know, blogosphere echo chamber?
I think it was definitely a result of the blogosphere, like, echo chamber.
Well, but, okay, so, I don't know, where did you notice this at? And again, we're gonna have to pick on Inside the Magic, okay? Because you've picked on them. So, I'm now looking at Inside the Magic, right? Mm-hmm. And I see that they have a story concerning this, and it's the title is New Star Wars Land Details Concept Art Revealed During Disneyland 60th Anniversary TV Special. That is factually accurate. So where do you have the issue at?
I think it was the day, it was Sunday night and Monday.
Okay.
That it was just like Twitter was blown up and everyone was publishing that same story and it was getting republished and retweeted and I guess just for that day, it was like this huge deal. And I don't get why it was such a huge deal, because they basically showed us nothing. And now it has totally died down. And even Tuesday, I mean, it was basically gone. But I don't know. I just like it rubbed me the wrong way a little bit that it was like this huge deal made out of basically nothing.
Well, okay. So again, I don't know. I don't feel like it was nothing. I feel like they released new concept art. They gave us more information about the Resistance First Order battle attraction thingy, whatever. You know, they released some new details. I understand that the amount of detail released maybe didn't match the fervor that fans were essentially stoking the flames of, but I just like, is Disney not supposed to say, hey, we're going to have some new Star Wars stuff, you know? And don't get me wrong. I know that Disney announces that knowing that flames are going to be stoked.
Sure.
But they, how do you, hey guys, we're going to announce some new Star Wars stuff, but very, very little new stuff. Don't get excited about our show. In fact, you know what? Don't even watch it. Just check YouTube afterwards. You'll get everything in about 3 minutes. I mean, what company is logically going to do that? You know?
I guess.
Don't get me wrong. I understand that you're upset about this. I just don't. I don't see how you fix that.
I guess the problem is. And this is my fault. I got caught up in the pre-hype, and so I didn't get the post-hype. Whereas I feel like a lot of people...
So you got prequeled.
Yeah.
You got prequeled.
A lot of people either didn't know that was coming until the beginning of the special, or didn't care. But I think I got caught up in... Because they pre-announced that by a couple of months.
Oh, yeah, because it was what, because Harrison Ford was doing it, you know?
Right. So this special is going to have new Star Wars Land content, because that's what I had on my, mine and my wife's family calendar, was Star Wars Land preview. So maybe I just got a little caught up in the pre-hype, and then when it was nothing, I was a little bit, or not nothing, but when it was what it was, I was a little bit let down. And then I totally didn't understand the day after craziness.
So here's my question. What did you, I mean, clearly you don't know exactly what to expect, but what did you have, what would have sated what you were looking for there? What would have sated that desire, I guess?
I guess I expected mostly the same package that we got at D23 when they announced all of this.
But you expected it to be another full package of all new stuff?
No. I expected the exact same package that we got, and then someone from Parks and Resorts to come out and in a very short 3 to 5 minute keynote, maybe have a slide deck with some new information and kind of explain what we were looking at and stuff. Cause I just felt like it was so marketing-y and everything that it didn't feel, I don't know. It didn't feel right to me. I was expecting more of a personal kind of like, we're really excited about this and here's some new information. Like here's the First Order attraction. I don't know. It didn't feel worth all the hype, I guess.
Okay, but now here's the other thing. Who was the hype intended for? Was the hype intended for people like us who eat every little morsel of Disney news that we can get our hands on? Or was it intended for, you know, and when I say what I'm about to say, it's not derogatory. Your average person And if anything, that's probably derogatory towards us because that's saying we're not average at all.
Right, normal people.
And we're not average. We're not average when it comes to Disney. We are Disney fans. And not everybody else is a Disney fan. Now, imagine that you're not a Disney fan. Do you think you actually saw any of the D23 coverage? No.
No.
You heard Disney had this Star Wars land coming. And maybe you had seen a picture. And maybe, you know, Bob at the water cooler had told you, yeah, it's going to be really cool looking and they're going to have a Millennium Falcon attraction. But other than that, you really didn't know anything. So to that sort of person, I mean, is not all the fanfare worth it? I just like you're doing a Sunday night special on ABC. That's who your target audience is. With a Sunday night special on ABC.
That 2-hour special might as well have been the first time they ever talked about it in public. Because I think you're right. I don't think anybody, or I don't think most of the people who would watch that, because I don't think a lot of the diehard Disney people care to watch stuff like that on network TV because they know that it's not really going to be, you know, a lot of, quote, interesting stuff, and that anything that's really interesting will be on YouTube the next day. So I guess, yeah, the target audience for something on network TV on Sunday night, which they carved out 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., which is the primest of prime time for TV, for network TV. So they weren't messing around. But I think you're right. I think that the people who that was aimed at did not and do not even probably know what D23 is.
So, again, I just, like I said, I guess that's why I don't share your anger toward them and towards Ricky, who you now owe an apology to.
Wait. I'm not angry. Ricky.
By the way, Mr. Briganti, I think probably because we've never met the guy.
Yeah.
How dare you use his first name like that?
I'm such a terrible person. You know, and after I've been thinking about this, you know, and I was like, I don't want to talk to Brad about it. I want to talk to him on the podcast. I don't really feel like that anymore. After having this conversation with you, I think that I was totally bought into my preconceived expectations of what was going to happen. And it just like totally let me down. And then I was upset that everyone was excited about something that I didn't feel like they should be excited about. And that's not fair to anybody, because if they want to be excited, they should be excited. And
they're just getting the opportunity to be excited about something that you happen to get a chance to be excited about 80% of a while back.
Right. I was excited about it a year ago almost. Yeah. And so, yeah, I think I was a victim of my own preconceived notions.
You were
in my
a
own
victim
brain.
Of the hype train is
yeah,
what you were a victim
I was.
Of. Because this train got no brakes.
I try so hard to not do that. But yeah, it definitely got me this time. I do appreciate you kind of talking me down off the ledge, because I was angry is not the right word, but I was like, I was pretty passionately confused about what was happening.
I like that. Passionately confused. Oh my gosh. Well, and looking at people who are passionately confused, I did have one other story that I wanted to cover. And
okay.
I don't know. I'm hesitant to cover this one because, again, looking at the blogosphere echo chamber, everything that I could find about this all pointed back to one place. but I just want to talk about it. So we're going to talk about it. So DrDisney.com reported that a guest during a unscheduled stop on Test Track apparently decided to cut himself out of the seatbelt and exit the attraction. So Test Track has a breakdown, and guest cuts himself out of the restraints.
Guest has a breakdown.
Yes, guest has a breakdown. And the weird part, and the one that makes, like, I know how this can happen, but it just seems unlikely. And that's the reason why I was, like, hesitant to report this. But, I mean, Dr. Disney's not just, like, nobody.
Right.
You know, it was that they didn't actually know that the guest had exited until the, you know, the car pulls in to unload, and somebody, you know, one of the people in the car says, hey, just so you know, somebody got out of the car back there, cut himself out of his seatbelt and left.
Well, but don't all the sensors in the attractions that use those seatbelts sense when the belt is buckled?
Yes.
And so as long as the buckle was still engaged, I don't know that they would have had any idea until the car came back and it was one person was a dangling frayed seatbelt end plugged or buckled into the buckle.
But the problem that I'm having is, like, well, and you know what? Maybe it's because of the seatbelts. Because my first thought is, like, most attractions, if you look around, you'll notice that there are, like, little sensors that will detect if somebody, you know, if somebody breaks the light or whatever. You know, it's like an, you know, infrared light or something. Mm-hmm. So you can't see it, but you can see those two little boxes sitting there. And what happens is, if somebody breaks the light between those two little boxes, it's going to set off an alert that's going to let cast members know that somebody's doing something they're not supposed to be doing. But
someone has come out of the ride vehicle and onto a restricted area.
Yeah, you know, and I don't know, for some reason the first places that come to my mind are, like, to me they're very evident in Splash Mountain.
Oh yeah. They are not hidden very well.
Right. And then also at Carousel of Progress, very easy to see, because they're all right up there at the front of the stage, right there where the stage separates from the crowd. Yeah, you can see them right there. So I was thinking about that, but I guess maybe they just assume seatbelts. Who's going to bust out of a seatbelt? And, you know,
right.
And there are cameras, sure, but you know, you've got maybe one, maybe two cast members who are probably responsible for watching every camera. And there's been a stop, so they're probably trying to figure that out in the background. And that's just it's just wild to me that some guest gets off, and, you know, according to the story here, they had to emergency stop the entire ride, evacuate the entire attraction, and then find the guest, who apparently was walking around the semi-truck area.
So they found him?
They found him.
Huh.
They found him.
I'd kind of glanced at this story, and I didn't, for some reason, I thought they hadn't found him. I thought, and like you said, it's this echo chamber where one person reported it, and then there were many, many, many reports of it. But I think the thing that I had read said that he had gone out of an emergency exit, and that they never found him.
Actually, you know what? Yes, you're right. I'm wrong. The guest said that he exited the semi-truck area. Either way, So how did no? I'm calling shenanigans. Because how did he exit out of an emergency exit without somebody? Like, how does that kick an alarm? I could see how he could exit out, but if he exits out of a cast exit, then that doesn't trigger an alarm. So maybe it's a cast exit. I don't
know. Maybe he just found a door.
This is just, okay, but this is just a random story to me. Like, Guest cuts himself out of a, what is going on here? Like,
yeah.
I mean,
there's more information. If this story is true, we need more information. Like, did the guy have a panic attack because he felt trapped in the seatbelt? Why, like, was he on the ride with nobody else? Like, because the story seems like him? Right, like that he was just on test track between two groups, you know, like in the little thing by himself riding solo.
But here's the thing with test track. I totally see that, because if you don't want to wait in the super long line for test track, you do the single rider line.
Oh, I didn't know they had a single rider.
Yeah, they have a single rider line. So, okay. So that part's entirely plausible that he didn't know anybody else in that car.
Yeah.
But yeah, just, I don't know. And I don't even know that, like, that there's something to talk about here other than what the heck.
Yeah.
Somebody cuts themselves out of a car.
It's just weird.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, what do you do if you're like exiting the car and that's when the ride decides to start going again?
Right. What if he had one leg out and the car started again?
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, just scares me what other people, and like, I'm in the park with these kinds of people. I know that I am. And that scares me that there are those people around that would do something like that.
Well, and I'm like, if I was in the car with that guy and he got out, I'd be like, hey, don't get out. That guy, he's out. He got out. Because I don't want him to get hit by the car behind us. And, you know, obviously you have no control over the car you're in. If he was standing, stumbling around on the track or whatever, he'd have gotten hit.
Yeah, but at the same time, assuming that he has a knife, at the point where the guy next to me pulls a knife out and starts hacking away at his seatbelt.
I guess that's true.
There's also that aspect. Maybe I don't want to get between you and whatever you're deciding to do right now. Maybe this just needs to be some you time.
Yeah, take it easy, knife guy.
Yeah, so I guess the moral of that story is watch out during e-stops on whatever ride you may be on, because guests are crazy. Other people are crazy. You're not crazy because you're listening to us, and that means that you are totally on level. But other people are crazy, and you got to watch out for the crazy people.
Can you imagine if somebody did this on a California Screamin' in DCA? I've heard that thing breaks down all the time. And like, for somebody to be on California Screamin' and to like forcibly remove themselves from the roller coaster and just walk off. Like
nope, I'm done with that.
Yeah, it just seems crazy.
Oh, you, dude, I know what it is. I know why he had to exit. Fast pass.
I don't have time for this. I have Fast Pass Plus that ends in 10 minutes.
Right. That's right. Either that or, you know what, maybe a dining reservation at La Celia. He knows how hard those suckers are to come by. He's not missing something.
He had to go meet the rest of his party.
That's right, because they won't seat you. He was afraid. Okay. You know what? Totally plausible. I could see myself doing that now.
I think you're right.
So, yeah.
Fast pass. That would truly, I truly wish someone had caught up with him. And if someone had caught up with him and asked him why he did it, that had been his answer. Look, man, I had a fast pass for Mission Space and I had to go.
No. He had a fast pass for Turtle Talk with Crush, man.
Ugh, those are hard to come by.
That's right. That gets really backed up, so.
I think that'll do it for this week's episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. And you can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.